Welcome back to Logical, where we untangle the legal knots so that you don't have to. I'm Ludmila Yamalova, a U.S. qualified lawyer based in Dubai. In each episode, we break down complex law into clear, practical insights that you can actually use. Today, we're discussing an increasingly relevant topic for individuals planning their future, retiring in the UAE. In particular, we'll explore the legal framework behind the UAE's retirement visa and why people from around the world are choosing this country as their long-term base. So let's begin with the bigger picture. Over the last few years, the UAE has been actively promoting itself as a safe, comfortable, and well-connected destination for global retirees. It is doing so not just through policy, but through infrastructure, healthcare, investment, and lifestyle design. Here are some key reasons. One, safety. The UAE ranks amongst the safest countries in the world with low crime and very much high security. Two, infrastructure. From seamless transport to smart city integration, the UAE offers a reliable, modern living environment. Three, healthcare. Access to both public and private care with world-class hospitals and a growing ecosystem for geriatric medicine. Next, accessibility. With two major international airports, one in Dubai and one in Abu Dhabi, and visa-free travel to many countries, retirees can move in and out with ease. Also, convenience. Services like domestic help, deliveries, concierge medicine, and on-demand assistance make daily life efficient. And finally, but not to be understated, is the tax benefits. The UAE is one of the few places offering zero income tax, which is a significant advantage for retirees with pensions or global investments. Now, while these benefits are attractive on paper, they become even more compelling when we look at real-world examples. So let me share a few examples of real-life motivations we have encountered in our practice. One example is an American couple and a fairly well-to-do couple from the United States, both in their late 60s, approached us to explore a UAE residency. Their goal, reducing tax exposure and assessing international medical networks and maintaining a cosmopolitan lifestyle. While they still had ties to the U.S., they wanted the flexibility to live abroad in a place where their retirement income would not be heavily taxed. The UAE seemed to have fit the bill. They chose the financial deposit route, which is one of the criteria for the retirement visa, which I will delve in shortly. In line with this particular requirement, they placed 1 million dirham deposit, which is about $300,000, in a fixed deposit in the UAE-based bank account. We arranged for them the UAE-based health insurance, and within a few weeks, they had a secure retirement visa. Another example is a Northern European couple who were, so to speak, chasing the sun. So it was a Swedish couple in their 70s who came to us with a different goal, better weather. Can't fault them for it. After years of long winters and limited sunlight, they were ready to settle in a place with a warmer and drier climate. They also valued the ease of travel from the UAE to both Europe and Southeast Asia, where their children now live. They own property in Dubai, which valued over 1 million dirhams. So they qualified on the UAE retirement visa to apply for a retirement visa on their own on the basis of their real estate ownership. They also appreciated the affordable services, security, and lifestyle and comforts that the UAE has to offer. And a third example is a Chinese retiree, an entrepreneur from China in her early 60s, decided to split her retirement years between Asia and Middle East. And her priorities were, as is expected of someone in her demographic, was medical flexibility, visa-free travel, and a multilingual support system. She did not yet own property in the UAE, but she had substantial cash savings, which she used to qualify through the deposit-based visa. So we helped her set up the local banking structure, coordinate the deposit, and obtain her retirement visa. She now spends a lot of much of her time in Dubai and between Dubai and Asia, with access to a diverse range of healthcare providers and treatments in both regions. So now that those are some practical examples and I guess reasons why the UAE has one positioned itself to be potentially a retirement destination for the long haul, and then two has been so successful at attracting people to consider this country as one of their retirement bases. So now let's look at the legal framework that makes it all legally allowed and allows for it to happen. So the legal structure, obviously, is based on the UAE, just for those who are not familiar, is a country of seven emirates. And this, by the way, is an interesting sort of reminder to myself. I was recently speaking with friends of mine from the U.S. who are quite well-to-do and educated professionals. And I was reminded that for a lot of people, the UAE is a bit of an enigma. Now, they know Dubai, believe it or not, still believe that Dubai is the country. But it's not quite accurately, not an accurate description of the UAE and Dubai. And it's because Dubai is just a subset of the UAE. So the UAE is a country of seven emirates. Abu Dhabi and Dubai, as by example, are just two of the emirates. And then we have additional Sharjah and Ras Al Khaimah, Ajman and Fujairah and so on and so forth. So there's seven emirates in general. So anything to do with a retirement visa is governed by an immigration law, which is a federal law. So what I'm describing today applies to all of the UAE, not just for Dubai. This is because, for obvious reasons, immigration is treated as a federal policy and therefore is governed and regulated and enforced at the federal level. While certain practical aspects of application in particular may differ from emirate to emirate, but the legal framework and the legal requirements are all stem from the same legal source, which is the federal law. And in particular, it's the Cabinet Resolution Number 65 of 2022, as well as the underlying document, which is the Federal Decree Law Number 29 of 2021 on the entry and residence for foreigners. And by the way, this is perhaps kind of the turning point of the retirement visa that we're discussing today, but also, as some might have heard, the golden visa that has become so popular in the UAE. It was basically the 2021 was the kind of cornerstone for the UAE in terms of its legislative updates with regards to residences reform. And so it was at that time, and it was by virtue of this Federal Decree Law Number 29 of 2021, which is basically on entry and residence of foreigners, or you can otherwise call it an immigration law, that a number of these types of visas were introduced, amongst some of which is specifically the retirement visa. So it's really since 2021 that the UAE has officially made it known to the world that it is open for business, so to speak, for retirees who may want to consider this country as their retirement destination for the long haul. So this law, which was first introduced in 2021, then had some other regulations that were issued kind of on the back of it, explaining certain aspects of the law, and the specific regulation that comes in handy here is the Cabinet Resolution Number 65, 2022, which was issued a year later, which further defines the requirements and the eligibility aspects and the definition as well of a retirement visa. So in terms of what this retirement visa is, it's you know, at a high level, it is a 5-year renewable residence permit, it's issued on the basis of few credentials and the eligibility requirements, which I'll discuss shortly. But before I do that, so having a residence permit in the UAE basically means, for all intents and purposes, you have you can benefit from mostly also services and facilities that this country has to offer. Apart from those benefits that are available for UAE citizens, but for the most part, this means you can own property in the UAE. You can buy a car, you can own a car, you can rent properties easily, you can have a bank account, you can own businesses, you can stay in the country basically indefinitely as long as your visa is during the duration of your visa. You don't need to go in and out. You can have health insurance, you can have benefits of all the health facilities. And otherwise have access to all the facilities and services and benefits that this country has to offer. So in other words, it's a real deal. It's not just a kind of a limited permit that gives you access to certain aspects or limited aspects of the benefits that may be available within the country. It's more or less a full-blown residence permit that makes you a legal resident in the UAE, and apart from being able to benefit from very specific benefits that are granted only to UAE nationals, this is as good as it gets. In other words, that's why it has proven to be a very appealing option for a lot of those, perhaps I dare say older, perhaps more senior people from around the world who are now looking, so for insurance purposes, are deciding that being actively involved in their businesses is perhaps now a thing of the past, and they are ready to relax and perhaps not completely retire, but at least not be involved in their day-to-day businesses in the same way that they used to before. And so therefore, they're now looking at different destinations. So where can we do this best? In other words, as I mentioned earlier from the examples we discussed and the clients that we've helped with, there's so many different factors and reasons why certain people of certain status in life may wish to leave their home countries and look elsewhere in terms of settling for their older years. And the weather is being one. It's a very significant reason for many, because for the most part, apart from the summer months in the UAE, it's a very warm and very accommodating and a very pleasant place to be. And then there's tax is a huge reason for many, especially those retirees who have perhaps assets, their income generating assets, on which if they remain living in the same country, in their home country, they will continue to be subject to the same tax rate for the most part as before. So sometimes taking a residency in a jurisdiction like the UAE may allow them or give them at least tools to sort of help optimize their tax obligations. So that's a huge benefit and attraction for many. And then for many more is just the access to healthcare. And there's so many examples, perhaps a little outside of the scope of today's podcast, but there's examples from our clients in the US and from clients, from friends, from your personal sort of experience, and same in Europe, where while no one sort of challenges or questions the strength and the benefits of the healthcare providers and services in those countries, they are in the way at times a little harder to access. So you need to wait for sometimes months to be scheduled in, and you sort of need to kind of plan your whole life around your medical appointments, and those people who are of a certain age sort of and health status would appreciate that, because we certainly know from our own experience and on behalf of our clients, what that means is when you cannot really travel or visit your family members because you're tied to your medical appointments, which are so hard for you to schedule because of how sort of the medical system works in those other countries, right? So in the UAE, it's very, very flexible. There are so many incredible hospitals here, so many incredible doctors. And by the way, one of the reasons why that is so is because the UAE over the years has been so welcoming and generous in many ways in terms of attracting this medical talent from all over the world. So when I moved to the UAE in 2008, there were a few perhaps Western doctors, but not in the same extent that they exist now. There's so many more doctors have come to the UAE and actually actively seek to move to the UAE for the very same benefits I described earlier. So as a result, the UAE over the years has not only invested in a lot of hospitals, but also in medical talent, and continues to invest and attract, and by virtue of offering, for example, golden visas to medical professionals. And we've discussed this on different podcast episodes, in particular for golden visa for doctors and golden visa for nurses. And those are some examples of which are connected to this discussion as well, because those are the types of tools that the UAE has deployed and has been so successful at relying on in order to attract this highly valuable talent to come to the UAE and not only come from a short-term basis, but sort of claim this as their long-term base. And so as a result, our medical facilities, our medical services are so much more diverse and so much more flexible. And I'm telling you from personal experience as well, and we have small children, just being able to see a doctor on a whim is like a no big deal. You can, if your child has a sniffling nose and you want to see a doctor for one reason or another because you're traveling tomorrow because you're just concerned, you call your doctor and you basically see them within a few hours from that phone call. And that applies to all other practitioners or all other residents. I've got clients who've had, who are European clients who've looked at, for example, and the retirement age. They've looked at doing some surgeries and looked at France versus the UAE and ultimately decided to proceed with medical procedures here in the UAE because it was just a lot more accessible. The appointments were a lot more readily available. And more importantly, the doctors and the practitioners kind of looking after him were of the same caliber, if not perhaps, at least by some accounts, of even greater caliber than the ones that he had been consulting with in France, for example. So so as a result, that's for a lot of retirees, that's for obvious reasons, this is a very attractive factor. And that UAE can really hold its head quite high up and be very proud of. I mean, we have like Mayo Clinic here. We've got the Cleveland Hospital in Abu Dhabi. There's the Medicare. I mean, there's just many more hospitals. And on top of that, the regulations regarding the laws and regulations regarding the medical practice and insurance companies continue to evolve as well, along with the evolution of the medical services. So that's kind of the second or the third, rather, category of retirees who or a reason for why retirees find the UAE attractive. So now let's delve into the eligibility criteria. And so the law that I mentioned earlier and the specific provision in the law, which is Article 52, that sets out so-called eligibility criteria for those who wish to apply for retirement visa in the UAE. So one is the age or work history. Yeah, so one is you have to be either 55 years of age or older, or have completed 15 years of professional experience anywhere in the world. So that's quite interesting because you could potentially be 45, but if you, or even 35. But if you worked at least 15 years in professional experience, you're from the age of 20 to 35, you could, technically speaking, you would qualify to apply for this retirement visa in the UAE as well. That's basically the main requirement is that you be of a certain age, and that's anything between 55 years and up, or anything that 15 years of professional experience and up. Then with regards to, so that's the age requirement. Now with regards to financial assets or financial ability, so there's three different categories for issuance of retirement visa. So one is on the basis of owning real estate, and I'll delve into the details shortly. Two is in terms of on the basis of financial deposit in the UAE, and then three on the basis of a fixed annual income. So let's break them down. So with regards to the first one, so it's the real estate ownership category of retirement visa. So which means that you would qualify for a retirement visa if you own real estate in the UAE that is valued at least 1 million dirhams. Now, 1 million dirhams is about $1,000. So it's not a excessively expensive real estate. And that, by the way, is based either on basically on the market value of the property or the purchase value of the property. So, and this question has come up quite often because sometimes people have invested years ago, 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And, back then the property might have been worth 700,000 dirhams. Well, so for the purposes of this this specific visa, you can apply for evaluation of the property, and your retirement visa will be based on the current valuation of the property. if you bought 10, 15 years ago, chances are that your property is definitely has gone up in value and it's worth more than a million dirhams now. So that's basically the property and the value of the property that would qualify you for a retirement visa of this sort. And then, what's also interesting is that even if the property is mortgaged, it can also qualify. And that is if the paid portion equals at least a million dirhams. So for example, let's say you took a property for 5 million, you know, got a mortgage for 5 million, the property is valued at 5 million dirhams, and you have paid already. And so obviously the property is mortgaged, so it's not fully paid off. So, but you've paid at least a million dirhams. So even in those cases, that particular property would qualify you for the retirement visa. So that's option number one. And that's, again, that's a retirement visa based on owning real estate. The second option is what's called the financial deposit. So, and that is maintaining, the requirement here is to maintain a certain amount of money in the UAE bank account for a fixed period of time. In particular, you need to maintain at least a million dirhams. So again, we're talking about $300,000 plus change within the UAE bank account. And that has to be in the fixed bank account. And then you also have to issue basically a letter and to the authorities proving that it's within the UAE bank account and it is for a fixed period of time. So that's, you know, that's basically the other option. And the key here is that the money does have to be in the UAE bank account, because we've had cases before and the law was not specifically or expressly clear, at least especially the first version of the law, in terms of whether you could potentially use statements from your foreign bank account to apply for retirement visa in the UAE. And it's been clarified since that you know, in order to benefit from this visa, you do need to have a UAE bank account and you need to transfer money from your home country or wherever it is that you had money and move it to the UAE bank account and then put it in a fixed deposit and keep it there for at least 2 years. So that's the second category. And then the third is in the event you don't have a property and you don't have a fixed amount of money, or you don't want to actually lock that particular fixed amount of money in the bank account, then you can apply what's called a fixed annual income basis. And that is if you're receiving a fixed income over the course of the year, that could also qualify you as a retiree under the specific visa. And more in particular, so it's you have to earn 240,000 dirhams annually, and that's about, let's say, that's about $60,000, about that, $65,000 a year, and to qualify you. And then it has to be documented from 6 months' bank statements from either UAE or abroad. So what could that be? So for example, as we know, a lot of retirees have pensions, right? And in some countries, particularly in northern countries, those pensions are quite lucrative and significant. So that would be an example of something that you would have to, you could present to the authorities here as a look, you receive your pension on a monthly basis, and as long as it's cumulatively, it comes out to about 240,000 dirhams a year, that would qualify you as well. The other option would be if you own property in, let's say, France or Sweden or Australia, and you receive rental income every month or every year, once again, you can use that rental income to show that that you receive annual income to the tune of 240,000 dirhams to qualify you for this visa. Another example could be if you just have investments and all you do is you receive interest on your investments every month. And we also have clients who have done exactly that and have applied and qualified for a visa on that basis too, purely by just having investments in different financial vehicles kind of around the world. And they, as long as you have documents to sort of clearly show that there is a regular and steady income, on the basis of bank statements that will have to be issued from specific bank account banks from where you hold the assets, then that would also qualify you here. So this is interesting because here you're not required to have that income be deposited or reside in the UAE per se, but you are required to at least show that that's sort of a steady income and give And then that would ultimately, you know, the objective here is for the authorities to make sure that you have you're liquid and therefore able, you have access to money to be able to sustain yourself in the UAE. And then in terms of those are kind of the qualification requirements, right? So you have age and you have sort of financial ability. Now, with regards to the documents that need to be submitted, they're more or less sort of your typical or expected documents, which is your valid passport, passport size photo. And then this is important. So you have to health insurance and a proof of accommodation. So let's talk about that. So the health insurance, it has to be from a UAE-based provider. Until recently, it wasn't quite clear. And by the way, a number of our clients have used health insurance policies from abroad because in other countries where they might have worked for many more years and had these long-standing insurance policies that are quite generous and cover them around the world, including the UAE. So in the past, these insurance policies have been often used for the purposes of health coverage within the UAE. But these days, to apply for retirement visa, you also need to show that you have a UAE-based provider. Now, this particular provider doesn't need, if you have already a comprehensive insurance from abroad, as long as you know that it covers you in the UAE, this UAE-based insurance does not have to be super comprehensive, but it has to be... It has to meet some sort of minimal threshold to be able to submit that document as one of the mandatory requirements part of your application. So there's that health insurance component that's important to take note of. And the other one is the proof of accommodation. And so proof of accommodation, it means if you own property here, then obviously that could be your proof of accommodation as long as it's not rented. Or if you're renting property from someone else, you would have submitted a Nijari document, for example. But also you could, and this, by the way, question comes up quite often because let's face it, for retirees, a lot of retirees, they may actually wish to travel quite a bit and use the UAE as a base, but not necessarily justify having a full-time accommodation. Or maybe they may just actually not even want to, and they maybe want to stay at different hotels, kind of long stay accommodation options kind of throughout the UAE. And there are so many great hotels here that offer that. So in that case, those kinds of stays would also qualify. So for example, if you have an agreement with a hotel that you have like a one-month stay or three-month stay, so those documents would also qualify for you to submit as part of your application as you just to show the basically the proof of accommodation. And then you need to show the UAE contact information. So you need to have some sort of a base here in terms of your phone number and such. And then obviously whatever the financial documents we've discussed, such as bank statements and your investments. So depending on which route you're proceeding. So that's kind of the sort of the universe of all the documents that you need to submit. So with regards to the insurance, just to kind of pause on that for a little bit, because we just learned this in the context of one of our recent clients, and this is a client we worked with for a number of years, and so we know that this particular aspect has kind of evolved a little bit over time, because last year, for example, this was not required, but now it is, and that is that you need to show proof of active health coverage. And it has to be comprehensive plan. And so in other words, the authorities want to see that for older applicants, you don't have just a basic insurance, but in fact, a more comprehensive insurance, and that you to kind of to facilitate the process, it should be so the UAE insurance, not just a foreign insurance. Although, as I said earlier, you could have a combination of both. But this is kind of a new requirement, because about a year ago, you could just present your international health insurance and that would qualify. And this particular requirement, while it's not specifically mentioned in the law, it is one that's now sort of practiced or required through practice. And that's how we learned about it. It's through ICP and GDRFA, which are the two services through which you apply for this retirement visa, depending on which emirate you're applying from. So those are the kind of the documents. And in terms of the process, it's fairly quick. Once you have all the documents, it takes about 2 to 3 weeks, and you have to submit it in person and often through what's called an AMR center, like that's in Dubai. These are basically like satellite centers that represent immigration authorities, and they're the ones who handle all the visa applications. So they're quite equipped to process your data quickly and to also give you feedback in terms of what may be missing, if anything. And so one important nuance about your application, once you submitted the application, you do need to remain in the UAE until you have your visa issued. And this is important because a lot of people, they're so spoiled by how accommodating the UAE is in terms of just the services. So they apply and then they just, you know, and then they want to leave 2 or 3 days later. Well, for any kind of visa application, you do need to remain in the country until the visa is issued. Otherwise, that interrupts your application altogether, and you'll have to reapply. You have to cancel the application and reapply again. And that, by the way, happens all too many times. But in generally speaking, so yes, you have to remain in the country, and it's, we say, 2 to 3 weeks, just to say it kind of more conservatively. But if all your ducks are in a row, all the documents present, it could be done even quicker than that. And because of the way the AMR centers and other immigration centers work, their feedback is rather immediate. And so you can kind of work with them to facilitate the process even faster if need be. And then the application includes some biometric data capture and also the Emirates ID issuance, which is one piece of plastic. And I kind of hesitate saying that, but, you know, it's an incredibly important piece of plastic. Used to be, now even that plastic, I think, is going to become soon a thing of the past. That we'll just be using the digital version of it, but it basically becomes, it's, you know, Emirates ID here, and that's only issued once you have your residency, and then that becomes kind of supersedes even your passport within the country. That is, you can even travel in and out with it from the airport, and allows you access to all sorts of services. So as part of your retirement visa application, you will ultimately, once you have the visa issued, you will also have the Emirates ID. One thing as well is that there will be a medical test that will need to be taken, and that applies to all applicants who apply for your residence visa. But the UAE, in its typical fashion, has offered so many of these VIP services, where basically you go into these very comfortable and clean and modern centers. You give your blood, and basically within an hour you get your medical results. So it's not like it was in the past, where you have to stand in line and go through the medical and then wait for a few days, if not weeks, for the medical results to be issued. Now it's almost all immediate. So that further kind of plays into the overall time frame that you should kind of account for when you apply for this visa. Now, with regards to the applicability or the duration of the visa, as I mentioned earlier, it is a 5-year visa, which is great, and it's it is renewable as long as basically the same factors remain. For renewals, you'll have to submit basically updated financial documentation showing continued compliance. And the process is more or less straightforward for those who maintain their eligibility. So, in conclusion, the UAE retirement visa offers a legally clear and practical, viable route for retirees from around the world. So whether you're seeking tax optimization, a warmer climate, better healthcare access, or simply a secure lifestyle, the UAE has designed a framework to welcome you here by virtue of this retirement visa. That's it for today's episode of Logical with Ludmila. If you found this episode useful and you like what we do, you can always find more on our website, which is lylawyers.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And for the full experience, you can watch our video podcast on YouTube. Until next time, stay informed, stay safe, and keep things logical.